Thank you, Mr. Klein. Good afternoon, everyone. Well, God's Word has a lot to say about healing. And we need to be healed both spiritually and physically. Sometimes the two are intertwined. So in my message, we're going to look at God's Word to see how it is that we get healed. And hopefully we can pick up something that may be applicable to you in your life. In the Bible, healing was done so many different ways, it's really hard to say this is how to do it, this is how to be healed. God is so merciful. And my first point is that God loves you. In Psalm 107, verse 1, it says, His mercy endures forever. In Psalm 145, verse 8, it says, His tender mercies are over all His works. And in John 10 and verse 10, let's go there. John 10 and verse 10 says, The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So Christ came that we were to have life more abundantly, not less abundantly, and good health would fall into that category. The New Living Translation says, My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now back in the Old Testament, if we go to Isaiah 6 and verse 9, here Isaiah is told, Go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes that they see, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. So Isaiah's message is to the house of Israel. And this is cited in Mark 4 and verse 12, where Christ said that to those that aren't called, they don't understand. There's a blessing to us that we can be healed through God's word. God's promises to heal you. We're told in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, let's go there. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, talking of Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So through Christ's sacrifice and beating, we were healed. And notice that tense there. It's not you shall be healed, it says you were healed. Now this is a little bit of a mind bender, similar to Peter walking on water. It's just not physically possible. How is it that our healing has already happened? Well, Christ was beaten for our healing. It has happened. In Psalm 103, we see further promises of healing. Psalm 103 and verse 2. Well, yep, verse 2, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all your diseases. So is there some sin in our life that kind of is exempt from that? No, this says that all our iniquities can be forgiven. And what about our illnesses and diseases? Is there something exempt from that? No, it says, who heals all our diseases? There's nothing exempt from the healing that is afforded to us. Psalm 30 and verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto you, and you have healed me. Verse 3, O Lord, you have brought up my soul from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. And in Psalm 107, and verse 20, he said, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So there's plenty of promises in the Bible, and we just can't cover all of them in one session, but God's word is just so full of promises of healing. It is God's will that you be healed. The next point I have is forgiveness is the key. And we read in Psalms that God forgives our sins and heals us. We see that again in James 4. But first, we have to forgive others. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 12. This is giving our model prayer. Verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And after the prayer, it says in verse 14, and if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So if we're an unforgiving person and forgiveness of sin goes hand in hand with healing, maybe there's something in our lives that is holding God back from providing healing to us. Do we harbour grudges or talk evil or blame others for our pain? These could be signs that we have some forgiveness issues. If we have any hard feelings against anyone else, we need to take those to God and leave them with God and bless that person that we maybe have hard feelings for. The next point is faith and belief. We have to have faith to know that God is going to heal us or that our healing is valid for us. Let's go to James 1. James 1 and verse 5. This is talking about wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For him that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So our faith has to be rock solid and unwavering. When Christ healed people, often he gave them things to do to test their faith. For example, the lepers, he said, go to the priests and show yourselves. Now, those lepers really couldn't do that until they were healed, but they did it anyway, and on the way there, they were healed. So what if maybe our faith isn't that rock solid? What if we're just doubting that little bit? Well, there's good news. Let's go to Mark 9. Mark 9. And this is a story where a father is beseeching Christ to heal his son. Verse 21, he said, and he asked his father, how long ago is it since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Verse 22, and oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straight away the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. So if there's any doubt that you can be healed, ask God to remove that doubt. This example here also shows that not only can we ask for praying and healing for ourselves, but also for those of others. Here is a father giving intercessory prayer for his son. And the son may not even have the faith and belief. Christ asked the father to have belief for this intercessory prayer for his son. And Christ's response, when Jesus saw, in verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And straight away the father of the child cried out and said, with tears, Lord, I believe, help you my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more. So the child was healed. Sometimes the faith of the community can affect the miracles that are happening. In Mark 6 and verse 5, we see Christ going into his own country, the area where he grew up. And they said, oh, you're just the carpenter's son. They didn't have the belief that... Stories in Mark and 6 and verse 5. So as a community, we need to be having high hopes for God's miracles acting in our lives right now. When Christ healed, often he said to the person he was healing, as you believe, so it shall be. Let's go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8 and verse 9. The centurion said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this and do that. Implying that all Jesus had to do was order a healing. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say to you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so it be done unto you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Here's another example of intercessory prayer, this time not for a son, but for his servant. Matthew 9, just over a page, verse 27. And Jesus departed, and two blind men followed him, crying and saying, you son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe you that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And again in Matthew 15 and verse 22, a Canaanite woman asked God to show mercy on her, and Christ says, you'll remember, shall we feed the dogs? this wasn't even part of Israel. This Canaanite woman was asking for her daughter to be healed. Matthew 15 and verse 22 is the start of the story. And in verse 28, Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith, be it unto you as you will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So as she requested, Christ healed. In Luke 8 and verse 43, you'll remember the woman that came to Christ secretly touching his robe. Let's go there. Luke 8 and verse 43. "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." So this was maybe a last resort for her. And maybe she just found out about Christ, but she had belief that she could be healed just by touching him, touching his clothes. In verse 44, "came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped." Because she believed that's how she would be healed. Now, later in the Bible, we hear about Peter's shadow healing people. They line people up and let his shadow pass over them. Right? So those people believed that's how they were going to be healed. So how is it we believe we are going to be healed? These examples show that it's really up to the individual how you wish to be healed. And we're given specific instruction in the New Testament. Let's go to James 5. James 5 and verse 14, it says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven." Notice it says, if he have committed sins. There's times people are sick not because of their sins, but if you've committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So we're given instruction there that in the New Testament church, going to the elders gives us a way of being healed. Let's go to Acts 19, and we see another example of healing in the New Testament church. Acts 19 and verse 12. In verse 11 it says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." So Paul anointed with oil handkerchiefs, and they were taken to people and they were healed. And that is the custom today in the church. If you are in a remote location and an elder can't get to you, you can ask for an anointing cloth. And they will anoint that cloth and send it to you by mail. And you can place that on your forehead or however you wish to be healed. And take that promise and that prayer for healing. It's interesting in this verse that not only were they healed, but the evil spirits went out of them. And often in the New Testament healings, very often that was the case. Not only healing, but also evil spirits leaving them. So we're seeing not only physical healing, but spiritual healing here as well. There is a spiritual aspect to healing. Let's go to Job. Go to Job. Job 2 and verse 4. So Job's already been afflicted by having a loss. His property's been taken from him. And in verse 4, Satan says to the Lord, "Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." So here's Satan saying to God, "Let's make Job sick, and he will be unfaithful to you." And this is a great lie that is promulgated, that if you are healthy, then you must be somehow right with God. Here, Job was perfect in his ways. There was no sin in him. Verse 7, "So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself with, and he sat down among the ashes." So what worse kind of sickness could there be? And in verse 9, his wife came to him, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." Right, just similar to how God said, you know, this, touch him and he will turn from you, Lord. And now the wife says, "Curse God and die." But he says in verse 10, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not we receive evil?" And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So you can see from this exchange and what's happening here, it's not God who gave Job the boils. It was Satan. God allowed it to happen to test Job, to see whether he was going to be faithful. And in many ways, when we're sick, our battle is not only with our illness, it's our battle with Satan. It's our battle whether we're going to be faithful to God, and stay strong in the faith, and call on God's faith to make our way through our problem. My next point is, sin is a part of our, maybe a part of our illness. Let's go to John 5 and see what instruction we have there. John 5 and verse 5, "A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years, and Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he said to him, 'Will you be made whole?' And the man answered and said, 'Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me.'" So he believed that if he could get to the water at the pool of Bethsaida, he would be healed. So he had faith that he could be healed. In verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was whole and took up his bed and walked. There's no discussion about sin or forgiveness. But the story goes on where the Jews took offense at him being healed on the Sabbath. And in verse 14, afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple. Now that's about 150 yards away. Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you." It is important that if we remove sin from our life or have it forgiven, we need to walk purely and to remove that sin from our lives. Sometimes when we're sick, we don't know what our sin is. And the scriptures say that possibly it may not even be sin that's causing the illness. In John 9 and verse 3, Christ even says himself that in a certain case, no, this was not sin that caused the illness for that individual. We can, when we're burdened with illness, wonder why God is not healing me. Why is not God healing me? We can look at a few things. We can make sure we do the things that we can do. Have I forgiven others? Do I have unwavering faith? Have I asked for healing? Have I gone to the elders? You know, when we're sick, chronically sick or facing death, we go to God with a really deep, contrite spirit, asking for answers. We become so much closer to God. There are blessings for being sick. Here's what some people say. They become more thankful and contrite. They draw closer to God, have purification from sin. They pray for others more. You see yourself clearer. Relationships get stronger. You prioritize what's important. You have more peace and acceptance. Church community draws closer together. And strangely, very often those who suffer show more love to others, more empathy for those that are sick. They look outside themselves. They grow in faith. And some have said they learn to battle Satan. Or are more aware of Christ and God's compassion, his sacrifice and healing. So in many ways, being sick can be a blessing. And in fact, you can be closer to God with your sickness. I have a few notes here about doctors. You know, when we're sick, we often relate to doctors in some way. In the Bible, Jesus said, and it's reported three times in the Gospels, that those that are well don't need to go to physicians, but those that are sick. So Jesus himself recognized the role of doctors. We've got to be careful, though, that we put God as our Savior. Christ's stripes healed us, not our doctor or our medicine or diet or whatever other thing it may be, alternative medicine or, you know, those things may be good and may be part of our healing, and that may be part of what we believe we need for healing. Let's go quickly to Romans 14. In Romans 14, verse 1, it says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs." I mean, I've gone from paleo diets to vegetarian. Let's look in verse 17. For it says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, you know, it's not what you drink. Is it the purified water from your reverse osmosis filter? Is that something you need for healing? Or is it the kombucha, like I drink kombucha? Is that it? If you believe that's what it is, that's probably good for you. Let's look in verse 23. And it says, he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This chapter also talks about respecting people's choices. If they go on a fancy diet for their healing, let them do it. Don't be criticizing them for it. And if you're on a fancy diet, it's okay if others don't go on that diet. When a doctor gives his diagnosis, sometimes it can be pretty scary, especially if it's a diagnosis that there's no healing for this. There's no medicine. You're stuck with this. Now, we know Christ was beaten for our healing. So in some ways, when a doctor gives you a diagnosis, we know that we have an edge on what the doctor says. We can say, no, I'm not accepting that diagnosis. I'm not accepting that I can't be healed. We've already been healed through Christ's stripes. Now, sometimes the evidence of our illness is all apparent. You know, our blood work might come back, the doctor's saying this, and then we may have the physical symptoms, you know, like, you know, I feel pain or I feel dizzy or whatever it may be. That's the physical evidence. But we know through faith that Christ healed us. We have to claim that healing. Now, going to a doctor can be good. One, to know what it actually is we have so that we can give it a name, so that we can know what to pray for. But also, when we are healed, we can go back to the doctor and say, check my blood work, and show him the miracle or her. We can show them that we're above the medical profession. The medical profession has a name for this, miraculous healing. They call it a spontaneous remission. It's where they just cannot medically describe what's happening. But we know what it is. It's miraculous healing from Christ. For those of us struggling with chronic disease, pain, or any form of lack of health, we can take great comfort and encouragement in God's word. And for those of us that aren't sick, that aren't in many ways blessed with an illness or something to draw us closer to God, let's take heart to watch our forgiving others and be strong in the faith and doing good works, lest we need a trial or maybe a health trial to help us along with these things. Let's close in 3 John 1. There is only one chapter. But in the beginning here, John greets Gaius, verse 1 and 2. The elder, this is John, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Verse 2, and we'll close on this. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.